go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our final installment of this very special conversation with one of Israel's great diplomats. As far as I'm concerned, one of the heroes of the war for the free world, both for his service on behalf of Israel, but also for the close and important relationship he has forged with many of us in the United States as well. He can be found in terms of his written product at theettingerreport.com. I encourage you all to check it out. Mr. Ambassador, let's close this out with a conversation about a new effort that seems to be underway from the Trump administration to succeed where others have failed again and again and again, which is this idea that somehow Israel can forge a lasting peace with the Palestinians who have made no secret, and that's true whether you're talking about the faction doing business as Hamas in Gazastan, or the so-called Palestinian Authority under Fatah and Mahmoud Abbas, to destroy the state of Israel. What is your current reading of the prospects for a new negotiating effort led by Jared Kushner and others for the Trump administration, and including what, if anything, we are to make of talk of a new partnership between Fatah and Hamas?
Well, it seems to me that the eagerness to produce peace should take back seat to the realities on the ground. And when you examine the realities on the ground, you find out that there's a certain Palestinian track record. Obviously, we can talk about different scenarios, but we would be better off if the scenarios are attached to the reality. The reality is that the Palestinians traditionally have embraced adversaries of the U.S. It used to be Nazi Germany, and then it became the Soviet bloc, and then it became training of international terrorism, and then embracing the Ayatollahs, and then Saddam Hussein, and currently North Korea, China, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, and Iran, obviously. And namely, if you establish a list of enemies and adversaries of the U.S., you would get actually the list of the closest allies of Palestinian Authority, as well as Hamas. In addition to that, we have to be aware of the Arab attitude towards the Palestinians in general, Palestinian Authority in particular. There's no love lost there. And once again, it's based on the Palestinian track record of subversion and terrorism against Egypt in the 1950s, Syria in 66, Jordan in 1970, Lebanon throughout the 70s and the early 80s. And then the collaboration between the Palestinians and Saddam Hussein's invasion and plunder of Kuwait, and actually throughout their close ties with Iran and other terror organizations. And therefore, when we talk about what would happen if should there be a Palestinian state, we're basically talking about enhancement of instability in the area, exacerbation of the tectonic nature of the Middle East, and serving the interest of America's enemies. And it seems to me that one should rethink the the automatic support which today is accorded by Washington and by Western capitals to the idea of a Palestinian state, which undoubtedly would cause the toppling of the Hashemite regime in Jordan. Once the Hashemite regime is not there, we're not talking about good or better or best option. We're talking about bad, worse, or worst option. And once there is no Hashemite regime in Jordan, one can say that the days of the House of Saud south of Jordan would be numbered and stuck between anti-Saudi Jordan and increasingly pro-Ayatollah's Yemen. The days of the House of Saud and other sheikhdoms in the Gulf would be numbered.
Yeah, this sounds like a singularly bad idea, Mr. Ambassador. One of the arguments, as you know, that we have been hearing over the years is, well, there are obviously lots of problems with a Palestinian state, but it's absolutely inevitable because of the demographic changes taking place on the ground with the Palestinian population growing and Israel's not so much, and therefore a two-state solution is a necessity, even if there may be these downside risks associated with it. You've done a lot of work over the years, both in your own right and with others, to really explore these demographic data. Give us the ground truth on that, if you would, quickly, sir.
Well, in 1960, there was a gap of six more babies per Arab women in Israel over Jewish women. That gap was closed entirely in 2015, and this last year, in 2016, for the first time, Jewish number of babies per woman has exceeded the number of babies per Arab woman, to be precise, 3.16 babies per Jewish woman, women in Israel, 3.11, and declining per Arab women in Israel. And by the way, today in Israel, the rate of fertility, number of babies per Jewish women, exceeds that of every single Arab countries other than Yemen and Iraq and Egypt. But again, the key idea, the fundamental idea, is that a Palestinian state established in Judea and Samaria, west of the river, would doom to oblivion the Hashemite regime east of the river due to the demography of Jordan, which is majority Palestinian, due to the strength of anti-Hashemite elements in Jordan, which are vying for support from west of the Jordan River. And once Jordan is transformed from pro to anti-U.S. regime, then the ripple effects would be quite effective all the way through Saudi Arabia into the Persian Gulf, and that would be a great gift to each one of America's enemies.
Indeed it would, notably, but certainly not exclusively, Iran, which brings us back to where we began. Mr. Ambassador, we are out of time. Your generous availability to us today is really appreciated, as is the work that you do at the Edinger Report. In the meantime, stay well and do come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.